Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. I pray for our hope. We got a good night's rest. And even if we didn't, I pray you'd renew our strength even today, Lord, as we look in your word. And Lord, I pray that with the bond that we have in Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, would be evident today as we fellowship, as we encourage. Oh, Lord, give us the eyes of Christ. May we see folks, Lord, as you see them. Let us not just have a casual, how are you doing, handshake, and that's it. Lord, let us be able to tell if a person is discouraged, if a person is struggling spiritually, Lord, if there's a way that we can come alongside and be an encouragement, a comfort, to have a kind word, some counsel, some wisdom, Lord. Perhaps even more than that, should you lay that in our heart. Let us be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray today. I pray we've come today filled with the Spirit, not in the flesh. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts through the lessons of the Sunday school hour, through the preaching of your word. Lord, we pray that there would be lost folks in our services today, lost folks that are watching from home that need Jesus Christ, that would hear the gospel. Lord, I pray we'd be doing our part in sharing the gospel with those that we're in contact with each and every day. Lord, we know there are several in our church family that are going through some challenging times. Probably everybody, Lord, has their own challenges. Maybe they keep to themselves, but Lord, difficulty, death in a family, loved one going through some physical challenges, Lord, unspokens, needs, unknown decisions that need to be made. Lord, we're thankful that your word has the answer and that you will guide and direct us in these areas. We ask your blessing now in the Sunday school hour in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Funny thing happened the last couple of days. I had been praying a lot about what to talk on this morning, and with Pastor and his series on sin and different things like the different levels and different what we do. I thought I'd continue on because a verse that always pops in my head when I think about sin is, "If a man regardeth." About regarding iniquity in your heart, okay, and God won't hear you, and so I was going to expand on that about regarding, and I started developing it and did more and more of it. Well, the last few days, I've had a lot of time to think, and the more I thought about it, the more negative it seemed, and it just really felt like the Lord was saying, you know, this isn't where I want you. So, of course, where do you want me, Lord? And because that's kind of important. Sunday's coming quickly, and it was kind of comical too, Pastor. It was around that time you sent me a text. Hey, are you still good for Sunday? And like, yeah, I'm good for Sunday, and not really sure, not done yet. I said, but I will be, and so. Oh, around 11 o'clock or so last night, I kind of had it roughly finished. So we're still polishing it as I speak this morning. But I whispered to Lisa during testimony time, thanks, Laura, for either my intro or my application. Because, wow, if the Lord ever said, hey, this is where I want you, you got the message, He said that to me this morning. All right, so we're gonna kick off in James chapter 1, and we're gonna talk a little bit about trials, and we're gonna talk a little bit about joy. And so if we get to James chapter 1, we're gonna take a look at verses 2 through 8. And this was done so quickly. I grabbed a scratch paper, and I just have a few things with arrows on them, on where to go. So. Buckle up, this could be fun. All right, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dig into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray that you would control my tongue. Help me to say only what you would have for each of us. And we'll thank you for the work that you'll do here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, trials. We all have them, but But the mindset of a trial, when we think of it, most likely we're all thinking Sam and Callan level, right? How Oliver was, we don't know, when he got sick, we didn't know if he was going to make it. And then long and slow and methodically, he started getting better and getting better and getting better. So we think of a trial like that. It's humongous. You go to the doctor, you weren't feeling well, you have a cancer diagnosis. You know, those are the types of things that hit our house on fire. All these types of humongous things, car accident, right? But trials come in all different shapes and sizes. It's not just humongous is a trial. Traffic being a little slower on your way home, that's a trial. Anything that's, it might be tiny, but it's a trial. Having to find a parking spot that's a mile away in the airport, and then, whoops, you forgot to take a picture of the sign that tells you what section you're in. Anybody that travels a lot, the number of times I've come back to the airport from a trip and remembered the parking spot I had from a previous trip. I go right there, I'm like, and one time it was really funny, the spot was empty. Where did my car go? So it wasn't like, oh, hey, these are all full. I'm remembering the wrong spot. It was like, they towed my car? So taking the picture, that's really important. That's a trial, not knowing. So these are all different things that, big and small, are trials. All right, so first of all, we're gonna count it all joy. All right, and so we don't, you notice here we're gonna view it as a joyful situation. We're gonna view it with joy. Our response is going to be one of joy and praising the Lord. It doesn't say feel joy when you're in a trial. There's a difference between counting something as joy, looking at something as, hey, I know this is a good thing. And having the mindset and the heart of praise to God when you're in a situation is a big difference from feeling joy in it, right? Like, I mean, look, you're terrified because of the situation you're in. Terror, that's a big difference in feeling between terror and joy. All right, even though I know this is, what you have to have is you've got to have that mindset that, hey, this is what God has for me, and I'm going to view this with joy, even though I'm in terrible fear. Paul, when he was lost at sea for 3 days, that was a terrifying situation. Hanging onto a plank from the wrecked ship, floating to and fro in the sea, that's a terrifying situation. But he counted it as joy. He looked at it as, here's what the Lord's going to do for me, or here's what the Lord's doing in me, and he's got me in this situation so that I can grow closer to him. Now, we look at the word when, okay? Big difference between when and if. Count it all joy if you fall into many temptations, trials. Big difference between if you fall into them, right? This is not a maybe. This is not, this might happen. No, this is going to happen. We all are going to face things. And again, it's all going to be all on different levels. And we all will face those things at a different level. Now, another thing I have written in my margin here is, I'm not sure who said this, but at some point somebody in a sermon said, you know, it doesn't really give you a timetable here. Count it all joy when you fall into this. It could be right now. We're going through it. Things could be pretty good right now. Could be this afternoon. Might be next week. There's not really a set schedule for when the trial's going to come. So how do we be ready? Oh, wait a second here. Back up a little bit. Or no, don't. When you fall. All right. Now, when I was walking up here, I didn't expect to trip on the steps coming up, but I could have tripped and fallen, right? When you fall, you don't expect, nobody really expects to fall, all right? We don't. It just, all of a sudden it happens. And it comes out of the blue, and it's immediate. You stumble, and down you go. So the fall comes without expectation of the fall happening, and you're all of a sudden in it. And now depending on where you are, wouldn't want to be on the steps if it were happening. Wouldn't want to be on a dock by the lake or something like that when it happened. But the fact is that if that happened, you're automatically in the trial. I mean, you're fully plunged in. It's not like I'm falling a little bit. Now I'm falling a little bit more. Now I'm falling a little bit. It's not incremental. You're in it. And so you get hit out of the blue with this trial. All right, what do you do? What do you do? So you're surrounded by this. You're surrounded by this trial. And let's go quick to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, because we see several examples from David about trials. He was in a lot of deep stuff a lot of times. And so Psalm 116 verse 3, here he's in a trial. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I mean, you look up, if he's in a well, I mean, he can barely, it's just a little pinpoint looking up at the sky up above. That's how deep he's in. There's no way out. He's in it, and he's immersed. So when we get in it, that kind of gives us the picture of, all right, this looks like it's inescapable. I'm trying to paint the picture here of the trials can be overwhelming. And what we're seeing here from God's word is, yep, that's a fact. Trials can be overwhelming. When we're in them and we're by ourselves, what do you do? Well, that's the point here as we go on. We're not in them by ourselves. All right, so what do we do? Knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience here, we think of some of the things I mentioned right, you know, what a little bit longer of a ride home on in your commute because traffic's rough, or you start out and you've got just enough time to get where you need to go and it's like, eh, this is not going to quite work. Or anybody that sits in a doctor's office and waits for your appointment time, and you know, you want to be waiting with patience while your time comes and goes and you wait for your actual time to come. Okay, there's those types of patients. You gotta, and they're small, right? You wait for the extra half an hour, sometimes depending on where you are, they could be a little bit longer. But patience here, I mean, these trials might not end anytime soon. So we think about when we run the race with patience and endurance. So if you're in a marathon, you've got to have, of course, endurance to run that. But when you're running the 27 miles, 26 miles, you've got to also have patience. That's a long way to keep running. And it's when you're going through this, that's the type of patience. It's like, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing this anymore. But I'm going to be patient through, waiting to see what you have for me. And what does that do, that patience? That's trying your faith. So when you have the patience, you then see, what does this do for my faith? Now here, we go back to Laura's story of when she was going through that. She had faith that the Lord would provide what she needed. whether it was the timing of going to Philly, the parking spot, the opportunity to witness to her friend, all of those things. She had faith that those things would happen. God would provide. The trip gets delayed. You got a sea of cars. You've got to go through customs. Those are all trials, right? But what does that work in the end? It works to show the faith that she has in God to provide. God the provider. The parking spot came. God provided the opportunity then to witness. All of those things happened by the trying of her faith and the patience that she had through it. Now, in the end, we see that when we try our faith like that, it worketh perfection, right? And perfect and entire means you're not lacking for anything. It's not sinless perfection. We all know that, right? We've heard that 1,000 times. It's not a sinless perfection that we're working toward. But what it is, it's a perfecting of the faith that you're not going to be lacking for anything. And you don't want your faith to be lacking when you go through a trial. So and this is a promise. I mean, it says it right out, right? The trying of your faith worketh patience. It does this. You know, God says it in plain language here. It's not a maybe. Again, this is a definite. It's a promise from God. Okay, so this, we will be lacking nothing. Okay, so what types of things here, we're talking about it works for your faith. What types of things then do we want to try? Ladies, your guy gives you a diamond. Are you hoping that the diamond had been tried? Or, you know, you bump it on the shopping cart and it cracks. The setting that it's in, same thing. The stone's gonna fall out. I mean, it's a precious thing, right? Anybody in the military, I think of, I know a little bit about what John does because of what I do. Are you glad that the equipment on the boat was tried, went through different tests, saw the video of the depth charges being set off near the Ford to make sure that if it gets attacked, it can take shock and keep moving. Definitely don't want an aircraft carrier, and those are on YouTube, so I can talk about that. You want to know that something is going to last, something is going to stand. So here we have a trial to test our faith, to try our faith, to strengthen our faith. Our faith in what? When a person gets saved, they're locked in, right? So you have faith in God, faith in salvation. Nobody can pluck you out of your Father's hands. So obviously, that's not what we're talking about. This doesn't try this when we go through a trial, it's not testing our saving faith, our faith in God to save us from our sin, our trust in the Lord Jesus. No, this is talking about something different. This is talking exactly, and I'm telling you, you couldn't have picked a more perfect testimony for what we're talking about here. Because this is trying our faith in whatever we find ourselves in. We've got faith in God that one, He has us there, and two, He's working on something in us. A section in James here that we're not going to get to is when we see at the end of it, our trials are intended to draw us closer to God. So whatever we're going through, at the end of it, if we've done our part, we're closer to God. God's doing His part by letting us go through it. He's there looking for us to call on Him and grow closer. So when we get through all of this, we test the precious things, all right? And so now we'll move on to, What are you working on with me here, Lord? Are you trying to teach me something new? Are you trying to shore up something that maybe I need to work on? Are you actually maybe trying to work on somebody else and I'm going to be an example or a testimony through this? Well, verse 5, I don't know. What are you trying to do? Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. Well, let's stop right there for a second. All right, so we don't know. What are you trying to do here? I don't know. Lord, show me. What are you working on? Where do I need to grow? What's the plan here? And he will do it as we go on. Okay, so he doesn't, we'll draw the difference between wisdom and knowledge. All right, I know what's going on here. I know what I have to do. But there's a difference between knowing what we have to do and it makes sense in the wisdom of the application of that knowledge. And so God's going to give us wisdom. If he gave us knowledge through it, it's not going to really help us too much because we'll probably end up, well, definitely we'll end up leaning on our own understanding because we're not going to be trusting on God to take us through. That's not going to work our faith, right? So he'll give it to us. And as we go on in verse 5, he gives it liberally, so he's not going to make it just enough so you understand. He's going to give you so much wisdom that, here, you can't miss the point. I'm giving it to you, I'm giving you so much wisdom in this, you can't possibly miss the point of what I'm working on here. And now sometimes we get dumb, and we ignore it, but that's on us, because God gives liberally. It says it right here. And upbraideth not. Well, all right, so again, that goes back to the sometimes we're dumb, and we don't really pay attention, even though he gave us so much that we can't possibly miss the point. He doesn't, when we ask the 37th time that we've gone through a trial to work on the same thing in our lives, he doesn't roll his eyes, say, you know what, forget it, I told you 36 times, I'm not giving it to you again. Nope, he doesn't come down on us. He doesn't say, I'm not telling you anymore, you bonehead, you don't get it. He's going to give it, and he's going to continue to give it liberally. He's got so much that he wants us to grow and be closer to him. He's going to keep giving it to us. So we'll get that wisdom that we need to go through the trial. Let's jump really back here to Psalm 16 this time. Psalm 16. And we're going to take a look at an example. So what does this look like? All right, so in Psalm 16, David's in, well, per typical of David, David's in hot water. He's in trouble. And so if you look at the heading there, it says Michtam of David. And one of the things when I was reading a little bit about Michtam, it's like a jewel, it's like a treasure. It's something valuable. All right. And so here's this is basically saying Psalm 16 is important. Psalm 16 is valuable. Psalm 16 is like a treasure. This isn't, to say other ones aren't important, but here's why it's important. This is something of great value that you wanna pay attention to. And so, number one, we've got verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Okay? So, He's in a trial, and he's saying, Lord, my trust is in you, preserve me. Okay, so number one, the trust is in the Lord. All right, and we go on. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my God, my goodness extendeth not to thee. So, if God is our Lord, then when we're looking all around and we see, one, we see lost souls. Two, we see other believers. We're going to want to, like, our focus, our worship is on God alone, but our focus is not on God alone. Our focus is on lost souls, Our focus is on uplifting other believers. Okay, so the goodness extends not just to you, Lord. Your goodness through me is extending. I'm sharing your love with others. All right, and he goes on to say that in verse 3, but to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Now, so we had number one was trusting in the Lord in verse 1 of 16. Verse 4 of 16, we've got number 2. Number 2 is their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. Number 2 is a separation. So we've got our trust is in God. Number 2, we're distancing ourselves. Well, distancing is a little bit soft, right? Because we get, like, I see a snake, I don't want to distance myself from the snake. I want to go where the snake's not, right? That's no, only good snake's a dead snake. That's how we're looking at this. We've got people that, and this could be something as simple as, this could be false doctrine, and churches that say social drinking is fine, even though the Bible says, look not, think not, don't do it, all of these types of things. It could also be going to concerts. It could also be watching, you've talked about what we watch, what we read multiple times, all of those things. I'm getting as far away from those as I can possibly get, to the point where my attempt is to completely cut off from those things. Separation. We want to stay, okay, we're in a trial. My trust is in God, but is my faith, am I separating from bad advice? Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stand not in the progression there, and sit not with the scorners, right? We want to stay away from all of these things, because what's our goal here again? Grow closer to God, draw closer to Him. God's goal in the trial is to draw us closer to Him. So, one, trust Him. Okay, we can say that. Number two, now we start some action here. Get away from the bad advice. Get away from false doctrine. Get away from people who are going to give us, you've got this. Well, God gives us all, you know, faithful is He who called you, who will also do it. We don't have that strength to do it. Paul says, it's not I, but God, right? It's not my strength, but God's strength. All of these things that I did, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So none of these things that we do are coming from any ability that we have in us. What's our nature? It's a sin nature, right? We're born into the wrong family. We are all born into the devil's family. So there's nothing, there's no good in us. So we don't have anything about us at all that gives us a predisposition to doing better. Our strength has to come from God. So even if I'm going to another Christian for advice, and that's not a bad idea, because you want to have a brother. Timothy tells us, or in Timothy, it tells us that the mentorship program or discipleship, depending on whether you're in the world or at church, we need to be teaching others, younger Christians, and so that's a good thing, getting advice from other Christians. But at the end, we got to make sure that we put that through the filter of God's Word, make sure it's in context, so that we are growing closer to God and not looking at non-biblical counsel. All right, enough on that one. Let's move on to verse number 5 here in Psalm 16, and that's our third thing. Okay, so we've trusted God. We are cutting off false doctrine, faulty advice, worldly advice. And verse 5 says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. Surrender. Surrender. So we've got trust, we've got separation, now we've got surrender. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you in this trial. I'm getting as far away as I can possibly get from any non-biblical advice. I'm only trusting on you. I've separated from all of that. Wait, you want me to do what? Surrender. Surrender. Lord, I'll do what you'd have me to do. I talked to Pastor this morning already. I'm on the list. I'm on the calendar for August 27th also, and we had taken pictures when Charlie, Nathan, and I had come up here to see what dates fill in, and there were six dates, and so there were three of us. Well, later on, I was looking at that paper I took a picture of, and I saw two other guys' names written on the side. And I didn't know if Pastor was intending to ask them to take Sunday school or open it up to others. And I said, wait a second here. Did I volunteer for two Sunday schools, and I only had to volunteer for one? did I do more than I was supposed to do? Does that sound like surrender? Just as quickly as that, the Lord's poking me in the face, poking me in the eye. It's not surrender. What do you want me to do, Lord? All right, you know what? I'm trusting you. I've separated, and now I've got to surrender, though, to what you want me to do. And that's a hard thing. And I will say, it's going to be harder for some people to surrender than other people to surrender. Some of us grew up where we learned from an early age to trust others, whether it's trust other people, trust the Lord, but we've been taught that model. Others of us grew up where I don't need anybody's help. I've got this. I'll figure it out. I'm going to fix this. And we grow old, always leaning on our own strength, always leaning on our own abilities. And we never take that and say, here, God, what do you want me to learn? And we don't surrender when he tells us. So we trust. We say, God, and we'll do it, right? We'll say, God, you're in control. I can't get out of this. I need your help. And then he gives us, and then we have an idea. We say, oh, I think this is from God, and we just barge ahead. Well, was it? Or was it point number two, separation? We didn't do that. This point, this thought, this action that we have didn't come from, it came from non-biblical sources. It's not necessarily what God wants us to do. We haven't done that separation. And so then we can skip step three because we don't have to surrender because it didn't come from God anyway. I'm doing it. I got this. Surrender. What does God want us to do? And this could be things with work. Where does God want me to work? It could be things with where we live. What would he have us, where would he have us live? Would he have us to live where we're by ourselves? Would he have us to live where we have a support group? Would he have us go to an area where all of the there's tons of Baptist churches, and we could go to anyone, kind of like where you guys were, right? There's tons of Baptist churches, but are they all preaching God's word? Are they all standing firm on all of the things? Go back to drinking, Calvinism, picking and choosing different verses out of context to make your point. Are they doing that? You got to separate from that. And then you surrender to go where he would have you go. And vacations, a lot of different things, right? Okay, let's get on to point number four here. The fourth thing is, okay, so we trust God. We're in a trial. We've trusted him. Number two, we've separated. We've cut out all the non-biblical advice. Number three, we have surrendered to do his will. And number four, and this is a big one, Number 4, verses 6 and 7. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I will bless the Lord. He's taking time to say, thank you, Lord. He's spending time with the Lord, right? It's not just I trust you, God, in this trial. I'm distancing myself from anything non-biblical, focused only on you. I'm surrendering to your will, but I'm also in constant communication. I'm praising you throughout it. Now, is it praising him when God brings us out of it? Oh, God, you did me a great favor again. Oh, thank you. You're really A-okay because you keep doing me these favors and getting me out of hot water in this and giving me wisdom of this. Well, if we go back to James chapter 1, that's not counting it all joy whenever we're in it. Counting it all joy when we're in it is praising God for him working in us while we're in it. It's not pleasant. And the Bible tells us that it's some of these hardships, they're called hardships, right? So that for a reason. It's not called a hardship. It's not called a trial because it actually is pleasant. Completely different word. It's a hardship and a trial because it's not easy. And it can hurt. It can destroy. But it will never destroy. Let's put it, how do I put it? It's only going to destroy what is destructible, okay? It's not going to, if it were to destroy my ability to walk, right? Okay, my ability to walk is destroyed. Is my ability to walk my faith? Is my ability to walk my witness? Is my ability to walk my testimony? No, it's not. The trial doesn't work my physical appearance, my brain power. The trial doesn't work that. The trial works my faith. Laura could not have given the testimony that she gave if the trial was working her parking ability, right? That it's working her faith. So her testimony is one of praising God for the trial that worked her faith. And then, where does that lead? Where does that lead? It led to an opportunity to witness to her friend. If she doesn't put that trial to work on her faith, he doesn't see that. If we don't put the trial, if I lose my ability to walk, and I don't put, John, you lost your ability to lift things when you had your hernia, right? If our testimony, if our trial isn't turned to trying our faith, what do others see? Do we grow closer to God? And number two, what do others see in us? When we go through a trial, they see somebody that complains like they do. They see somebody that doesn't behave like a Christian. We've got, you know, we might not use foul language, but we are complaining, and complaining is just as corrupt communication as anything else, right? And if that's coming out of our mouths, if our, you know, these Christians that go, the oddballs that go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and seem to kind of like each other, all of a sudden we're in a trial, we're not going to church anymore, we stopped doing that, and others see that, what has that trial done to our faith? Has it tried it? Yeah, it's tried it, but let's go back to the United States Navy doing the shock trials on the Ford. When they set off those depth charges, two things happened. Well, one thing happened and one thing didn't happen. One, the Ford proved itself solid during that trial. The depth charges were released. The videos that they show of things shaking and vibrating on board, it really rocked that boat. It withstood the trial of its integrity. Second thing was, if you saw the vibrations and the waves from those depth charges, there was a complex, a condo or an apartment building on the shore in Florida came down. And they're determining that it was improperly built, that the vibration, because this fell and it was completely unrelated until they dug into it a little bit more and they looked at the timing of it and what the seismic response from those depth charges were. But you had something else that collapsed under it. So you had one thing that withstood, one thing that collapsed. I want to be more like one of those than the other. Which one do you want to be more like? Do you want to get in the trial and stand strong, grow closer to God, be an example to others, be a testimony to others on how to live? Or do you want to go through a trial, completely collapse, basically ignore God, no matter what you're saying, you're ignoring God, and be an example to others of how not to be? Those are the choices. We go through trials and we can have, like David here in Psalm 16, we can come out with joy, or we can go through a trial and be miserable and be someone that no one wants to be around. Those are the options. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get out 2 minutes early. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, pray that you would be honored and glorified by all that was done. And as we go into service this morning, I pray, Father, you'd speak through Pastor, work in us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.